We just put out on Twitter, we were talking about this before the break, that Bill O'Brien said he met Brock Osweiler for 10 seconds before the Texans ever signed him. And this was actually, they met in 2014 on a field, casual hello conversation. And Bill O'Brien said, how about, you know, we design a week of free agency where just players can come in and we can talk and get to meet them as players. Nobody can sign, but since they already have this 48-hour legal tampering period, but it's only agents and teams, why can't we just do player and coaches? I think it's a great idea. But it led into the conversation of, for good or bad, what is your most memorable impulse buy? Not that the Texans made an impulse buy, but under the situations, Bill O'Brien was part of an acquisition of $37 million guaranteed, and he met a guy for 10 seconds. So we put it up. We put it out there on Twitter, at Wes, Fox Sports 910. Also on our Facebook page, Fox Sports 910 RVA. What, for good or bad, memorable, highlight, low light, what is your most memorable impulse buy? Drop it on our page, Fox Sports 910 RVA. And since you're talking to the two least impulsive guys in the world, let's bring on a guy full of impulse, full of life. He's John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates. You're always good for an impulse buy. Does one stand out in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just talking about this yesterday because I was moving. The greatest buy that I've ever made in my life, and it wasn't necessarily an impulse, but I guess I just walked in and did it, was a king-size bed, because that changes your life when, like you and I, you're in a relationship, and it can make you feel like a single guy again.
The king size. I've only ever gone queen size, but the king size. So, wow, Hokie life must be good, man. You're getting a new place that can fit in a king size bed?
Squirrel's life was good. I bought this 5 years ago. It was the best thing I ever did.
Oh, congratulations on the new place and the king size bed. John Lazor is here. He is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. All right, you're going to have to help us out here. Justin Fuente putting the mute button on the quarterbacks at spring football, and I know access has been limited, but what's the word out of Hokie land about what's going on with this Virginia Tech football team?
Well, that is the thing. There's not a whole lot of word. You know, I've been to a couple of the practices, and you can't really get a big sense of who's leading or anything like that. I'm going to have the opportunity to sit down with Justin next week and also with Brad Cornelson, and obviously things will start to shake out a little bit more as more practices are had. But the couple of practices that I've been at, the quarterbacks were pretty much rotating, and you could see that Brendan Motley was kind of first in line in terms of getting reps, but didn't mean he was getting more reps. It was just kind of an order of seniority, I think, from that standpoint. So it's been equal footing to this point. That I think it's been a lot more fundamentals than anything else, and trying to slowly incorporate the playbook and what Brad and Justin are trying to accomplish offensively. So I don't think there's much of an earth-shattering word at the moment, Wes, in terms of here's a clear-cut front runner or here's a guy that's really coming and grabbed the bull by the horns at this point just yet.
I'm not a big fan of putting players on mute or not letting them speak to the media. But, look, new boss in town, he's trying to do his thing and trying to keep things under wraps. I don't like it, but I somewhat get it. I know we get so wrapped up in the quarterback position. I know that's what people want to know about because it's new coach, new offense, new coordinator. We do focus in on the quarterbacks, kind of like the NFL draft. We get so locked in on the quarterbacks, we forget about other places. Besides quarterback, other area of interest for this team during spring football for you is what?
The secondary and the second two levels of the defense. And I guess you could just add the defense as a whole now that I'm expanding upon it in terms of where the reps are going to be. And then you've already made a couple of changes in terms of what you're planning on doing, moving Adonis Alexander to cornerback for now at least, and then also moving off Terrell Edmonds to safety and kind of shuffling those pieces to think or see what Bud Foster thinks is the best fit for those guys. But really there's a lot of intrigue across the ball, Wes, and it's not necessarily a how are we going to fill these holes. But for instance, I was at the first practice of spring and when I looked over and I said, who's that real quick? And I had to jog my memory to Shy McKenzie because he kind of became a forgotten about guy last year due to injury, unfortunately. He looks great. Physically, he's down about 30 pounds, it looks like, and looking fast and looking lethal. And then all of a sudden he's going, well, we've got Trevon McMillan, but we've also got this wide-open offense now. I wonder how a piece like that might fit into things like that. And you're also looking at your third and fourth receiver spots and who maybe might grab the bull by the horns in terms of this freshman class and the incoming players. And a lot of those guys are in spring camp, so that's going to be fun to watch. But I think the biggest thing that you need to identify on the defensive side is who you're going to start with offensively, or excuse me, in the linebacker core, and also how you're going to shuffle those relatively inexperienced pieces in the secondary, and how effective you're counting on Brandon Faison to be off the get-go, of course, with him sitting out the majority of spring. So, yeah, definitely some questions. I think this is a spring camp that's full of a lot more intrigue on both sides of the ball, particularly with the quarterback shuffle and the quarterback competition that you just talked about that maybe you've had in the last couple of years.
And I saw you said there that McKenzie dropped some pounds. I saw that Trey McMillan put on a couple. What wanted to keep the speed but wanted to have a little bit more meat on the bones for a long season.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's definitely a result of where he was at the end of last season, because he came in and was somewhat of a very pleasant surprise, but certainly got dinged up. You know, you can recall the last couple of games of the year where the game plan was definitely to ride Trayvon McMillan, and you had to shy away from that a little bit because he absorbed some big hits early on in games and wasn't able to continue to be that bell cow. So I think that's a natural reaction, something that a lot of guys going from their freshman to sophomore years would do, but definitely one that recognizes that potentially he could be that workhorse type of pounding back, although I think when the system changes, you probably won't see that as much as you had in the past, particularly in the second half of last season.
He's John Lazor. He's the voice of the Hokies. Reminder, Hokie spring football game is coming up April 23rd. John Lazor is brought to you by Cowan Gates. And we're coming off the basketball season here. We kind of wrapped up the season with Buzz Williams last week. But as a man who covers the ACC, how surprised are you that Syracuse is in the Final Four?
Very surprised. That might not even cover it, to be honest with you. I mean, it speaks to the basketball tournament itself and what you might find yourself in terms of who you might run into. And much like the ACC itself, make no mistake, it's been an exceptionally impressive feat and run that the conference has had in the tournament, and same can be said of Syracuse. That, you know, that was a very impressive win over Virginia, but at the same time, it played out pretty favorably for them in terms of who they matched up with. But no, going back to the team that I saw, that Virginia Tech honestly really should have beat, and they had them beat up at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse and gave it away. And Syracuse did what they've done, and some teams have been shocked in the fact that they get hot late in games and they start making shots that they shouldn't make. And that's really their MO. They're a team that doesn't run a lot of set plays. They're a team that, to use, for lack of a better term, is somewhat of an AAU one-on-one type offense. And as Buzz Williams said throughout the week of preparation, throughout the couple of days of preparation leading up, you have to expect this team to hit unexpected shots, and you can't let it affect you. And I think you've seen some other teams that aren't as familiar with Syracuse letting that get to them, and Syracuse is definitely playing to that MO. But yeah, there is generally one team that makes a surprise run. It's generally a smaller school, a little engine that could, but it's Syracuse this year. So I'm not completely stunned, because that's the nature of the NCAA tournament, but just being a team that I'm somewhat familiar with and somewhat familiar with their deficiencies, I am surprised that they're one of the last four standing. I would be stunned if they beat North Carolina.
I have not yet got a chance to talk to Dave Kane. I'll hopefully catch up with him at some point this week. I'm very interested to pick his brain about the final 9 minutes of that game. To see that collapse, can you think of a game where you called? Now, your job is the play-by-play man to call what – describe to the people at home what exactly is going on. But have you ever, can you think of a game where your mouth is moving and you're describing a game and in your mind you're saying, I can't believe this is going down in front of my eyes? Either a collapse or a comeback or just something that you're just like, I got to control it, but this is insane what's happening.
You know, the greatest one that I ever had was actually in the high school ranks when I used to call the Minnesota State High School basketball tournament. I was really emotionally invested in a school called Ricori High School. They had a legendary head coach by the name of Bob Brink. And they were in the semifinals. They were kind of like Villanova. They would always get there and they could never get over that hump. And it looked like they finally had, I think they were up 9-9 or something like that with under a minute. And then the next thing you know, they turned the inbounds pass over twice in a row, turned into quick threes in the corner. It was kind of the Reggie Miller effect versus the Knicks back in the 90s, and they somehow found a way to lose that game. They lost it on a 28-footer, which at the high school ranks is a pretty deep three in the left corner, and it was just, wow, it happened and evaporated so quickly. That was probably more of a Northern Iowa example than maybe the way that the Virginia Cavaliers lost in that game. But, no, I haven't necessarily had a team that was in that much control for the majority of the game just suddenly seem to lose its footing like that. I'm interested to talk to Dave Kame, too, but I'm giving him some space.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I think the wound is still wide open. But does it hit you, like, in the moment as you're calling it? Or do you, when you sign off from the microphone, does it almost, like, the delayed reaction of, oh, man, did that really, like, how did that just happen?
I think, like I said, that Syracuse game, that happened to us at Syracuse. You know, we should have won that game, and then walking away, you're thinking that. But I think it's kind of like the feeling of being a coach or an assistant coach as the broadcaster, because you're so emotionally invested. You travel with the guys. You more than likely ate a couple of meals with the guys that day. You know what the game plan is going in. You can tell when they're getting away from the game plan. You can tell when they're losing their footing, so to speak. And it's almost a feeling of helplessness. Now, I've always wondered the opposite of that. What does it feel like from a player's perspective to feel things slipping away? Because I think from their mindset, you can always do something to turn it back around. But in ours, and you're probably the same way when you're observing games from the side, you can sense things coming, you can feel things coming. And then when it does happen, you look around, and unfortunately, in a lot of cases, you try to place blame in other places. Maybe that's the officiating, maybe that's the personnel or not the shot selection that you wanted, things like that. But, yeah, it can be a mystifying feeling, certainly, in the moment.
Syracuse, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Villanova. You're now an ACC guy, but are you still going to be pulling for your man, sports crush, Jay Wright?
I'm going to pull for him to get to the championship game, and then I'll go with conference allegiance for whoever wins the North Carolina-Syracuse game. No, I just think North Carolina is going to win the national title. I've thought that since I saw them dismantle the rest of the field in the ACC tournament when I called those games, and that's why I had them on every bracket that I entered for pride, and that's why I still think they're the best team in the country. They just come at you in waves, and I honestly, unless it's Buddy Hield and Oklahoma getting there and Hield shoots the lights out, I just don't see right now anybody beating North Carolina.
Nor do I. John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates, in the middle, I imagine right now, of boxes and dust and things all across his new place. I am going to let you go unpack, my friend. I appreciate the time as always.
No, I'm actually sitting in my car in the hotel parking lot that I was graciously traded out last night to stay in because we didn't get close to getting the place assembled to a level of which we could stay in it. So I appreciate it.
My man, be well. John Lazor, CowanGates.com, there for you in any case.